where are we headed? I think you can see. We're heading inexorably toward the second coming of Jesus Christ. Are you ready for His coming? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get a copy of this wonderful book, Armageddon, Oil, and Terror, what the Bible says about the future of America, the Middle East, and the end of Western civilization. Your gift of $20 or more to Save America Ministries. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Become a partner with us as day after day we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
This is Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
They do, and I don't think most people really understand the predicament they've got themselves into, or perhaps Alan Greenspan manipulated us into. And those of you who haven't read my December newsletter, you may very well find it fascinating. I've had some people who disagree with me sharply, and I simply say I don't know whether I'm right or not, but it's an interesting thing to contemplate why Alan Greenspan has destroyed our economy and destroyed the value of our currency.
You don't hear much of Alan Greenspan of late, do you? they will bring him and tout him and allow him to say a few words, but he's been, you don't see much of him. Every once in a while you'll hear his name anymore, but he certainly will be. I didn't have a chance to read your newsletter.
Oh, well, when you have a chance, read it. And, Chris, I have an unusual approach, and I may be entirely wrong. All the facts are right, it's just how you interpret it. Well, it's the November newsletter that is the last one that went out. The December newsletter has not gone out yet. Anyway, our telephone number, if anybody would like to call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, today when we hear that some of our major financial houses are going to have to make massive sales of their stock to people over in China and in Hong Kong and in Singapore and in Asia, simply so they'll be able to have enough money to maintain the solvency. I mean, we are in real trouble. We've never seen anything like this before in all my memory. Can you think of anything like this before, Melody?
No, I haven't. And, of course, what's to me earlier today, and, all day long I have CNBC on. I mean, I don't believe a word they say. A lot of it is lies, but you hear what the mainstream is saying and what Wall Street is saying, because what they're saying is how you adjust. And they even had Ron and USANA on there talking about how he's never seen anything like this. People don't realize what's going on into the depth and that this is serious. And there's serious consequences. And he actually mentioned that people should be fleeing to safety, which he didn't say gold, but the only safe vehicle at this point is gold. And the degree of concern in his voice, I found unusual coming from the CNBC media. And so when they're on there, it means what it tells me is it's not that far off.
Well, of course, the thing is that people are saying, well, you've got to be conservative now. You've really got to protect yourself. Get into T-bonds. Well, that's fine if the dollar was stable. But why invest in T-bonds and yet maybe 4% interest when you got an inflation rate of at least 11%, and certainly the way that the M3 is going, and that's being calculated by some people, and they're simply pointing out that the M3 is up 15, 16, 17%, and that means that probably by the end of this year we'll have 16 or 17% inflation. And if you're getting 4% interest and 17% inflation, you're losing 13% a year. So that really is not a very good investment, is it?
No, it isn't. And, I mean, heck, you don't even need M3 anymore to see all the money that is being printed and flooded into the markets to keep things afloat. And, I mean, if you just look at all the, just everything, I mean, we speak about the wheat prices and the food prices, and it's finally hitting Mr. and Mrs. America out there. They just can't do it anymore. They can't continue to spend. They're tapped out. Their homes are tapped. They have no equity, and it's you can only switch out from steak to hamburger for so long. Then you're gonna be looking to switch out that hamburger, for Spam, and so. It's catching up, and it's a cycle, and there isn't there's not one person except for a handful, and probably Ron Paul, who has any idea how to fix anything. I mean, all they know how to do is spend, and they are totally oblivious to what is truly going on. And all you hear them talk about is expanding. And that's all adding to the our inflationary period, and again, adding gold to higher prices, taking gold to higher prices. This isn't going to change. I mean, we need to see some real, we're going to see some real troubled times, and someone has to fix it. But the systems will have to purge, and we'll have a long way to decline before there will be any reversals.
And of course, when you say purge, you really mean that a lot of companies are going to have to go bankrupt. These
yes.
are living totally on debt. And of course, what's happening is the number of people with credit cards, they're just not paying them off. And of course, they've actually taken credit card debt and bundled that too. And of course, when you have, you've got the housing bonds, and then you've got credit card bonds, and then people aren't paying on their credit cards. You've got real problems. Well, right now our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and 1-888-24-LIBERTY, if you have a question or comment. We've got Jeff calling from Spokane. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. How's it going down there?
Oh, well, it's been a beautiful day, and certainly I'm doing fine, so we've got a lot to be thankful for.
Oh, amen. Two quick questions, if I can. One of them is I've got a fair amount of silver and a little bit of gold in our safety deposit boxes at the bank. Should we be getting that stuff out of the bank after what we heard about Citibank and writing off $18 billion and laying off a bunch of people? Are we worried about the banks actually closing their doors and me not even be able to get to my safety deposit box?
All right, what do you think about that, Melody?
Well, I think any place you put your, I mean, everything carries a degree of risk. And certainly, banking holidays is not unheard of. And banks falling under are certainly, I think, in the near future. I believe you have to know your bank. I believe each bank, I believe, has different rules and different sets of rules for their safety deposit boxes, so you need to know what they are. I would rather have my items next to me, but sometimes it's not suitable for a lot of people to do that. So you have to look at yourself and is it suitable for you. My customers that need to have a safety deposit box, I tell them, if a 911 happens, you go down and you take your items out. You don't wait to see what happens. You can always put it back. So, don't wait if you think something's serious. Of course, when banks close, you don't know beforehand. The only thing you know is when you go down and get your items out, there's a sign on the door that says closed. And, we'll open your safety deposit boxes. You'll have access a month later, 2 months later, or so forth. So I think in the times that we're facing, you can have it with you, it would probably be a lot better. But again, if it's better for you to keep it there, just be very aware.
And
so
I will tell you that certainly there is a standard technique that they use in countries. We actually had some friends that were living in the Azores when they had the communist revolution. The communists took over there, and this was probably about mid-1970s. And, of course, you went into that bank to get in your safety deposit box. They had a communist there, and if you had gold in your safety deposit box,
gone.
They took it.
Yep.
And, this is the mid-1970s in the Azores in Portugal. And, of course, we know that they actually took the gold out of the safety deposit box under FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yep.
You're going to have to make your decisions. Are things that bad? Well, we'll be back in just a moment here, and you can hang on if you want.
Yes, please.
Okay, Jeff, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, I did just a quick one. Because we've invested over the years into our 403Bs and tried to diversify the best we can, but we're talking about if the Amero comes into existence and that supersedes the dollar, will they revalue my IRA, I guess, so to speak, at some percentage like they did with the euro as related to like the Deutschmarks or the Liras or something like that?
You want to take that one, Melody?
Well, it will be revalued, but when things change, You know, you can throw all everything out the window and they'll do it the way they want to do it. So I really don't, how they will do it and to the degree and to the percentage and to what they would revalue it to. I don't know if there's an answer to that.
Well, let me tell you what happened in Europe with the euro and the Deutschmark. We had a woman named Orlene Kula, and you can actually probably pull down her interview. It was on a Wednesday, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I think maybe it was just last week. And she of course, speaks fluent German. Her family comes from Germany, her husband's family. And what happened there, of course, the Deutschmark was really quite strong, and a lot of the older people retired, had a lot of Deutschmarks. Well, then they brought in the euro, and when they brought in the euro, the Deutschmark lost between half and two-thirds of its value. And so all of these people really have been more or less impoverished, and they're very, very bitter about this. They've simply stolen the value of their currency as they move from the Deutschmark to the euro. And, of course, whole situation there is, of course, they're pouring money into Eastern Europe to raise the living standards of the people who live there, as they're lowering the living standards of the people who are living in Germany. And the retired people in Germany are furious. And, of course, Mrs. Werthmann, Kitty Werthmann, tells essentially the same story. She's been there as well. So, you know, certainly this is why you would certainly, if you are in and you can't get your money out of a pension fund, I would be sure that those stocks are invested in gold and silver stocks. They're about the only things I'd want to be in right now, maybe oil or uranium.
Okay, that's very helpful. I appreciate that very much.
And
thanks,
remember,
Dr.
I'm not a financial consultant. I'm just telling you what I think from having lived a long time, okay?
Well, there's a lot of wisdom that goes with that, and I appreciate that. And I do appreciate all the advice that you bring to your broadcast. I listen as often as I can.
Glad to have you listening there, Jeff, and thank you so much.
Oh, you bet. Talk to you later.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Jeff calling from Spokane, and we got Pete calling from Spokane. Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
Oh, it's not Pete. It's Ray.
It's Ray. Oh, I'm sorry, Ray. Would you mind hanging on because...
I'll hang on.
All right, fine. I think we got things a little mixed up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
go to Pete. There we are. Is this Pete?
Yeah.
Okay, Pete. Does he have a question or comment?
Well, yeah. Fascinating discussion today. You know, I last week I heard you talk about the inflation, fiat money inflation in France.
Right.
And I read that book.
What did you think of that book? Did you really enjoy
it? I loved it. I mean, it makes total sense. It was fun reading it because the author, even though it was written in the, I think, late 1800s,
right.
he would show...
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we have Pete calling us from Spokane, and... if you would like to give us a call and have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, we've got Pete calling from Spokane, and he was saying that he's read the book, which we offer. It's an inexpensive little book called Fiat Money Inflation in France, and it's the story of what happened in France after they tried a fiat money system after the French Revolution in 1789. Have you ever read that book, Melody?
No, I haven't.
It's really it's sort of like deja vu all over again. Anyway, Pete, would you like to tell our listeners what you thought of that?
Well, I love the book. I was reading it, and the author, he's very thorough, and then he'll say, this is what they would do, and then they would pass this law, and to force the countrymen and the farmers to sell their produce at a certain rate. And every time they would try and pass a law, I would think, as a businessman, what would I do as a businessman and predict what the business people would do back then? Sure enough, they did it. They tried to do price controls on the produce during hyperinflation, so the farmers just wouldn't come into the town with as much produce, just a fraction of what they would normally bring, because it wasn't worthwhile for them. You know, things like that. But it was interesting, I was reading it, and what the French government did was they confiscated the church lands throughout France. I believe it was from the Protestant church.
No, it was a Catholic church.
Catholic, okay. Right. They confiscated it, and then they valued it at 2 million assignats or whatever the unit of currency was then. And then once they backed it up by the currency. Once they got all the lands, they backed the paper currency up by the land, but they revalued it at 4 million units instead of the 2 million that they paid the church for. And so I read another book called The Creature from Jekyll Island, and you fast forward to America in 1933 when they confiscated gold, and they paid everybody, I think it was $20.50 an ounce for their gold. And then once they got all the gold confiscated, they revalued it at $40 an ounce. It's real similar. They doubled the value like they did in France. I thought that was interesting as well.
Well, of course, you see the same moral degradation in France that you're seeing today. It went quite along with that inflation. But a long time since
right.
I read the book, but it is so characteristic. And then they have wage and price controls. They're going to have wage and price controls so that, of course, prices don't go up. And then suddenly all the goods begin disappearing. So anyway, Peter, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
Well, a couple things. They noticed that the specie or the gold or silver coins started to disappear as well. One other thing I wanted to say was this past summer, my family and I went to Washington, D.C., and we toured the Bureau of Engraving and Printing in Washington, D.C., and the gal there, the tour guide, said, oh, I asked her how much they were printing up a day, and she said, this runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and as we're watching the $100 bill paper currency running by, and we print up $692 million a day, And I asked her, I said, well, how much of that is replacement money where they're taking old currency out and bringing it? Oh, it's like 98%, she said, and I couldn't help but start laughing to myself. Well, just laughing because I knew that was probably the company line.
Right.
Knowing full well that's a lot of that money is probably going over to Iraq to pay them people off and all different sorts of things. I don't think it's 2%.
One of these days, all that money is going to come back here, and that's when we're going to have a rampant inflation. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Pete. Really appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I wanted to talk about taxes. I don't know if it's on the subject or not, but I wanted to talk about the flat tax, the idea of a flat tax. Now, I think Ron Paul is sort of an advocate of flat tax. I think it's regressive. I don't think it's a good idea. Doing away with the IRS, I think that's a pipe dream. I don't think that could ever happen.
Why we got by with that for almost 200 years?
Yeah.
I should say we got by with, for over 100 years.
That's right.
Without IRS,
we
did. Don't need it. What we need to do is cut spending. What we need to do is get back to the Constitution.
Yeah.
If we were abiding by the Constitution, we wouldn't be spending all the money we're spending.
Right. The housing thing, I think, is the housing, the mortgages, that problem that we have with people buying houses that they couldn't afford and the interest rates went higher. Now, what do you think they're going to do? Do you think they'll lower the interest rate or do you...
Well, let's get Melody's thought. What do you think? Hold that thought just a moment and then we'll get Melody's thought on it. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Melody Cederstrom with us, and Ray is calling, and he's asking, what do you think they're going to do? Are they going to lower the interest rates further? What do you think, Melody?
Well, I think they're going to have to lower the federal funds rate, but will that lower the mortgage rates? I don't think you're going to see the mortgage rates go down as much as what they were. I think I don't know what the mortgage rate is.
Right.
Today, but I believe it's still over or around 6%, maybe a little more than that. So, because there's no one that can qualify for loans.
Right.
You can't qualify. That's the problem. There's no one out there that can qualify. Their credit ratings are shot.
Right.
They have no savings. They're too far in debt. So
yeah.
they can't even refi their adjustable rate mortgages. So
yeah.
And that's the problem. And they're going to continue to lower the rate to free up funds for commercial purposes. But as far as the mortgage for the people out there to refinance, I don't think you're going to see it go much. You know, it could drop lower, but there's no one that can qualify for it. So
I think we're in for a very big problem. I think that probably the housing market, well, we saw what happened in Japan where the value of the property went down 90%. Now, I don't think it's going to be that bad here, but I think it's probably going to go down 40 or 50% anyway, at least back to where it was, and maybe it will go down even more. We are in for some very, very difficult problems, right?
Well, yeah, and there's a lot more people out in the streets than what they say. And I know, especially in San Jose, because I see it, you know, I see them out there, and it's really pitiful. And this president has spent so much on that damn war. I'm sorry about that, but he spent so much on that war, and he keeps spending more and more, and they allow him to spend more and more, and he's spending his into, you know, it's a tragedy. It really is, I think.
Well, of course, every great empire has eventually destroyed itself by going from war to war to war. And every great empire eventually goes bankrupt, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, he's accelerating the process.
But of course, the thing is that why is he doing this? I mean, people who control...
The money people control him, and they control both of the parties, and, you know, I can see that, and you know it's useless to even vote.
No, I'm going to cast my vote, and I hope you'll cast your vote as well.
Well, I will.
All right, fine.
Okay, that's about all.
Okay, thanks very much, Ray.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, fine. And this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom. And before we go on, Melody, I want you to get out your web page. I want you to get out your telephone number.
The telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the web page is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And if you have any questions, you can always email me at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
All right, fine. And what would you say to Ray? Ray is concerned about what's happening, and says more and more people are... He sees them out of jobs. People are suddenly having to lower their living standards. And I think it's only a matter of time before the vast majority of Americans are going to be living at a much lower living standard.
You know, it's interesting when I talk to people, and the same ones that I talked to a year ago and I talked to recently, their opinions have changed. And one time it was like, well, if we go to a recession, it's not going to hurt me because I don't have anything, I don't own anything, and so on and so on. Now the conversations are, you know, I don't think it's going to be a recession. It's going to be a depression. And people can't better themselves. We have the, people can't borrow anymore. They're broke. This country is broke. And, you have to pay there's consequences to be paid for this. And it's going to affect each and every one of us. Even as prepared as so many of the listeners are and we are, we'll still be felt. And it will affect each and every one of us.
I agree with you. We lost Joe from Michigan. Joe had called in, and I don't know how he got cut off there, but he would be the next caller ordinarily. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, did you have a question or comment?
Just a little comment, Stan. You had your caller a few minutes ago asking about safe deposit boxes and what maybe he should do about that. And Melody was saying, well, you should get to know your institution and make just some evaluations. And I just wanted to offer a couple of thoughts that if you go into your bank and it says maybe on a little plaque somewhere, it'll say, Member Federal Reserve System. That tells you a lot about what type of institution that bank is. And also, there might be some stickers or plaques somewhere that says, deposits federally insured $100,000, backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Well, that helps you also to understand what sort of an institution that is. Notice it doesn't say that your deposits are backed by the gold that's owned by the United States government or the Federal Reserve System. And so I normally get in a bad mood when I walk in my bank because I really don't like the place. but that's all I have to say, Stan.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Do you have a question for Melody?
I have a couple, a few. I was told recently that if gold adjusted for inflation, we over the last however many years, we would be at about $2,000 for gold. Does that sound correct to you, Melody?
What do you think of that, Melody?
You're running around 2,000, 2,200. There's, you know, different reports. There's even some out there that are saying, you know, 1,600. But if you use the inflation calculator, and it comes up to about 2,223, somewhere around in there.
Okay, cool. Secondly, you know, I had the same questions that a lot of your callers just had, but the one question that wasn't asked was, are there any places you'd recommend to put your money rather than banks? You know, is there something, is there an alternative, you know?
Gold.
I understand that, but I mean, you know, I have some money, a little bit of money in silver, actually. But if, I mean, just to put liquid money, because you need money to live, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, is there an alternative of any sort? Or?
Well, you do need to have emergency money. So, I mean, you can...
I mean, like money just to pay your bills, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, you should keep just enough in there to pay your monthly bills. And if you have to deposit it on a monthly basis, then you can deposit it and pay your monthly bills if you pay by check.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep any emergency out, I would keep that with yourself and keep it with your silver. Is that what you meant?
Well, say that last part again.
Keep your cash that you have for emergencies with your precious metals.
So just keep it in your house.
Right.
Put it
in your freezer. That's an old trick. And find a safe place in the freezer there. And you want to have a little money on hand anyway.
Yes,
in case something happened and suddenly the bank's closed and you want to be able to have money just to buy food and things.
Right.
And then so you really want to have a little cold, hard cash around.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And then lastly, what is the recommendation, the percentage of one's money do you recommend is in gold and silver? Like, say if I have $20,000, $30,000 to my name, you know, what would you recommend that percentage be in gold and silver?
Well, I think you need to keep out, you know, if this includes your emergency money, you know, take that out, what you need for, you know, 3 months, and the balance should be in gold and silver, 80% gold, 20% silver.
So then you're talking about...
There is... Go ahead.
You're talking about 80%, about 70, 80% of your money.
Yeah.
Gold and silver.
What else is there?
Right. Okay.
Joe, I think we're in very unusual times. These are times like never before, as the value of the dollar is just tumbling. And, of course, if you're in money, why, of course, the value of your money is decreasing. And that's what people don't understand.
Right.
And as we see the inflation increasing... why, of course, money gets less and less valuable. So you don't want to keep it in money because you lose all the time.
Right. So
then you have to think of alternatives. And Sydney, a gold stock, silver stocks, but Sydney, I think Melody is absolutely right. The majority would be something that would be easily transferable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I was just going to say also, I live in Michigan, and you know, amongst all the, you know, all the, the talk of what's really going on, at the same time you just see so much affluence, and it's just it's hard to believe that such a thing would happen. But
well,
I know
of course what we're moving is to a two-tiered society with the very wealthy, and then a lot of people who are very, very poor. This is what the way it is in Mexico, And this is what they're planning on doing here, as they destroy the middle class. And this is what they're up to. And they know exactly what they're doing. What part of Michigan are you in?
I'm in Fowlerville, Michigan. I catch you, though, on the Flint station.
All right, fine. Well, that's a great station. Okay, anything else you want to
say? No, thanks so much, and God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I guess this evening is Melody Cederstrom, and we're talking about what's happening financially to our country, and we are in real trouble, and it's only recently that anybody's even said that we might be in a recession. And so what's the government going to do? Well, they're going to try to spend us out of the recession. And they're talking about, you know, lowering the interest rates and giving everybody money. And then they're talking about giving us special tax cuts for if companies want to buy machinery. Why, then they can write it off 50% the first year. They don't have to write it off over a five-year period. Certainly a few years ago, why, you could buy an SUV and write off 50% of what that cost, and they sold an awful lot of SUVs at that time. People were buying cars that they didn't even need or want because they could get a 50% write-off on their income tax. And, you know, it's amazing how the government can manipulate us into doing what they want simply by giving us special deals on our taxes or by paying us to do things. You get what you subsidize. You want to subsidize welfare, you get welfare. You want to subsidize people working hard, why, you reward them for working hard by cutting taxes and let them keep what they make. But right now they're sort of in a lose-lose situation. And I don't think there's anything the federal government can do to get us out of the hole we're in, and anything they do is only going to make the hole worse. What we're going to have to do is allow the economy to contract, allow a lot of these irresponsible companies that are head over heels in debt just to go bankrupt, and do away with this massive amount of debt that people have, and that corporations have, and the governments have, and I suspect even a lot of our municipalities and their municipal pension funds are going to go bankrupt. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I agree, and I just want to mention one. I just want to go back a little bit, and I hope I don't, you know, take away from what you were just talking about. But it's important, you know, when I meant that you should know your bank, because it is important that you know your bank, and I don't mean going to dinner with them. I mean, you need to know, because I'm the first one that doesn't like banks. I was an AVP with savings and loans, a major one in Arizona before they went under. And until they closed the doors and put the sign on the door, they were telling customers that FISLIC was there to cover their money, and we all know how solvent that was. And we all know what happened to savings and loans. So I'm the first one that distrusts banks. But everybody, and I'd be the first one to tell people to always take possession of it. You know, you can find places. It's not that difficult. If you buy gold, you can put a lot of gold in a very little place. It's very easy to secure in your home. Your biggest threat is telling people you own it. You want to keep it very private. You don't want to show it to anybody. And you don't want to put it in your bedroom, and you don't want to put it in the bathroom, because those are usually the first places they'll look. The kitchen cabinets are next. So these are places you don't want to put it. So you do have to be careful. But every once in a while, there are people out there who don't have the luxury, for whatever reason, or the ability, or there's a lot of older people who, you know, can't keep that by their sides. And if they decide for themselves that that's where they want to put it, at least know their regulations. There's some banks that allow only one person on that safety deposit box. Well, you wouldn't want to go there. You want to make sure that somebody else is on that with you so you can go on. These are just precautions that you can take to take away the risk of the things that safety deposit boxes give. So is it my first choice? Absolutely not. You know, but for that person that has no choice. And so, you know, that's what I meant by, you know, safety deposit boxes and know your bank. Oh, trust me, I just trust them as much as, you know, everybody else does that's probably listening to this program. But
there's a fellow named Marty Weiss, his name is Dr. Weiss, and he's a PhD in economics. And actually he rates banks. You probably would have to pay to get a consultation or pay to get information, but You know, they do actually have ratings of which banks are in trouble, which banks have a lot of derivatives, which banks have a lot of loans that are questionable, and which banks are really pretty solvent and have a good track record. So Marty Weiss, you can look him up on the Internet, and certainly he's been around for a long time. He's been talking about the danger of banks, and, of course, his service, as an economic consultant, is telling you which banks you can trust. Marty Weiss. Okay, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I have a feeling, as we listen to the television this evening, as they're talking about Citicorp and Merrill Lynch and the other big banks, you know, frantically trying to borrow money just throughout the world, I think we're just on the fringe of a lot worse things, because I'm not sure that even $10 or $20 billion is going to bail out Citicorp or Citigroup or Merrill Lynch. And I think that an awful lot more of our major institutions are in real trouble. You're just not hearing about it. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
Absolutely. More and more of them. You have Merrill Lynch. You have, you know, they're all taking foreign money. We have America that has to pay for her debt. And we have to continue to borrow, and these banks are borrowing. We have the UBS, who's getting money from the government of Singapore. You have the, you know, the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority and the Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley is getting money from China Investment Corporation, Barclays from another China Development Bank, and another Singapore company. And it's just amazing that this is happening, and it's not amazing, it's not surprising, it's just that it's happening, and it's I don't think it'll be the last ones that they get. I think they're going to have to continue to borrow money, and certainly they're going to get more and more. They talk about these holdings will not have any influence on business, but you know, it's just a matter of time until they. If you give them enough money, they certainly will. They'll own it. So it's just another selling out of this country.
And, of course, we find Bank of America buying one of these countrywide. It's a large mm-hmm. mortgage company. And, of course, they almost had to buy it because they already invested $2 billion in it, and they were still facing bankruptcy. So, you know, but, of course, when Bank of America takes on Countrywide, they take on all their faulty loans as well. And certainly Bank of America is one of the five or six major banks in the United States. And if this thing with Countrywide doesn't work out, they could very well, of course, be facing a bankruptcy. We just don't know what's going to happen. They claim that this was a good business deal, but obviously the people at Countrywide didn't. They were anxious to sell. And, of course, the CEO of Countrywide, who got them in this terrible situation, is going to get a severance pay of $150 million, something like that, $140, $150 million. And my thought is that this guy should have been fired for malfeasance and for corruption and for negligence of allowing Countrywide to get into that. Instead, he's going to get a golden parachute. How would you like to get severance pay of $140 or $150 million after having destroyed your company? A lot of these things that are going on today just don't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Nothing really makes sense. We're so unbalanced, and you know, I think it's just too far gone, and things will continue on, and more things will make even less sense.
In fact, it's very interesting. Of course, the U.S. News and World Report lead article this week is the party over? And of course, that really refers to the phrase that Alan Greenspan used several times in his book, where he in his book called The Age of Turbulence, where he talks about how William McChesney Martin was quoted as having said that the purpose of the Federal Reserve System is to remove the punch bowl just when the party gets interesting. In other words, clamp down on the economy and cut that back on credit. Everybody's having a great time. Everybody's making money. But when this happens, it leads to inflation. What you have to do then is stop the party. And, of course, when U.S. News Report says, is the party over? I think the party's over. And I think we're in for some very, very difficult times. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment there at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our guest has been Melody Cederstrom, right here at Radio Liberty. One more time, your telephone number, Melody?
1-800-375-4188.
One more time.
1-800-375-4188.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Okay, well, Melody, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I just want to encourage the listeners to make sure your financial affairs is in order, and if there's anything that we can do here at Discount Gold and Silver, to give us a call on the 800 number, 800-375-4188. We'll review your portfolio, your gold and silver portfolios, to see if there's any, you know, adjustment that needs to be done. Like I said, I've seen a lot over the past couple of weeks to where we've been able to adjust, and they've actually done very well. But the key things you have to remember when purchasing gold and silver, you want to maintain 80% in gold, 20% in silver. And I hear the arguments about silver, and many are heavy in silver. And so much of purchasing gold and silver is what's suitable for you. It takes a lot of your investment objectives into the program when you're buying gold and silver. But we're having a currency problem, and gold is a monetary metal, so this is why you want to be 80% in gold, 20% in silver. Don't sell your gold. Keep your gold. You don't trade it for currencies or any other investments out there. And always take possession of it. And, you know, storage, stay away from dealers that will store your gold. Always, if possible, take possession of your gold. Take immediate possession. Don't send funds to where they hold your funds for a month or 2 weeks or 3 months and then say at that point in time, you know, we'll make an order for you and send you your product. Even if you have, you know, $300 and you're going to buy gold and silver, make that purchase now. Don't wait. Take immediate possession of it. Silver, keep your portfolio simple, basic, build foundations first. Then you can go and you can add speculative coins that will perform. I'm running comparisons on the semi-numismatic coins versus the bullion coins. In the last example I did on Mint State 61 $20 Liberties, they outperformed gold bullion by almost 15%. So even though you held more gold eagles in your hands, the 20 Liberties performed greater in a year period. So they can do better. So the key is to be diversified when it comes to silver. Stick with 90% silver, silver eagles, maybe silver rounds. I tell my customers to stay away from silver dollars. You pay big premiums when you buy them, and then when you go to sell them, you're only going to get melt value. Bid prices on piece dollars today is, you know, $13. 21 Morgans is $13.
Hold up, we're out of time. Good night. God bless.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest has been Melody Cederstrom, and this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you agree that with me that we are involved in a spiritual battle being played out in a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, we'd love to welcome you on board. And then, of course, we would mention that, you know, some of the things that will really help you to understand, we have a little pamphlet made up of a number of our newsletters. It's called The History of Money. And we think it's important that you know the history of money, what happened in ancient Greece and in ancient Rome and in Florence and in Venice. And there's nothing new under the sun. All of these things have been tried before. What happened in France and in the early 1700s and then again in 1789. And that's all there in this little pamphlet, The History of Money. And then, of course, my talk on financial tsunami, I think, is even more applicable today than when we gave it. It's available in video or DVD, and there's a syllabus that goes with it, which I think is important to have. That's the financial tsunami. We have, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and a book that Pete was talking about early in the program, Fiat Money, Inflation in France. And it's an easy book to read, but of course it's just, you can actually see what happened there and see what's going on now. It's like deja vu all over again. So if you'd like interested in getting more information on any of those books, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like, if you'd like to get the books, the number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The others are call-in numbers, and you'll be talking to my producer rather than the people at the exchange. So, and then, of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you really need to. And then I would simply point out that we are going to actually stamp out a number of my DVDs on the Brotherhood of Darkness. And if you'd like to get 25 copies of that DVD, the Brotherhood of Darkness, it is an excellent thing to have to pass out to people, and you can get 25 copies for a suggested gift of $99 plus the shipping on it, and we will certainly want to get the, as soon as we have, 10 more people, why we'll go ahead and run those DVDs, and we think it's an excellent introduction for people, and we've had, well, of course, that's really where my book came from. I did the talk, and somebody saw the video and said, we'd like to make a book out of that. And then, of course, we had to do the book. They made the transcript, but I had to make the book. And of course, that Brotherhood of Darkness book is available from Radio Liberty. And then, of course, we had the time where I would make a book out of my talk on The Forbidden Secret. But, of course, the DVD is available along with the syllabus that will give you real insight into what the secret is that has been passed down by the secret societies for 5,000 years. And, of course, it was recorded on the Emerald Tablets of Hermes, and, of course, has been used by the sages, and certainly it was passed down through the Kabbalists, through the Gnostics, through the Knights Templar, through the Rosicrucians, and right down to modern-day Masonry. At least the leaders of modern-day Masonry. Most Masons don't understand Masonry, but the leaders do, and we tell you what that secret is. And, of course, at one time it would cost you your life if you knew it. Well, our number is, that's The Forbidden Secret. We also recommend very strongly the DVDs or videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. And you can get the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. Because, you see, it's not only the people in the music industry who've sold their souls. Other people have as well. So, remember our telephone number, it's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And please pray for America. Pray for revival. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course our guest for this hour is going to be Terry James. We're going to be talking about his book, The Nephilim Imperative, Dark Sentences. And this is book two in the coming chronicles, and of course The Nephilim Imperative brings the reader face to face with an ancient evil that threatens the human race. And from the time of their youth, Morgan and Clark Lansing have been the victims of interdimensional forces. After being hired by a secret government base in the Rocky Mountains, their family and their friends struggle to save them and prevent a long prophesied flood of evil. And as the battle rages, Lucifer's minions work to change the nature of man through the same genetic tampering that was thwarted in ages past by a worldwide catechism. And of course what they're talking about is the genetic alteration that occurred prior to the flood, when of course the giants walked on the earth. Are there really giants? Do they actually exist? Could they exist? Well, I will tell you, those of you who heard my interviews with Barry Shamish on the return of the giants, and I've really got to take and put that those interviews into a four-tape set. Because, of course, over in Israel, when they were negotiating the Oslo Accord, which was going to lead to the destruction of the State of Israel, why, there were giants that suddenly appeared, and they were seen by a number of people. And how would you like to open your front door and see a nine-foot giant standing there? And this is exactly what happened to one Israeli man, and, of course, they had the footprints. And as I read the book, this, of course, is a novel, but Mr. James has done a wonderful job, and so many of the things that he writes about are really very, very familiar to me, because I've been studying the supernatural and for a long period of time, just as, of course, Mr. James, Terry's publisher, Tom Horn, has done. Tom was to have been with us tonight, couldn't make it, so Terry was kind enough to come on, and he's written a fascinating book. It's one of those books you just can't put down. Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. James.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, for inviting me. Always a pleasure to be with you.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you just give us, our listeners, as much as you can in the background of this story, because, of course, this really is a book about prophecy. It's a book about the coming times that lie ahead, as we begin to see more and more manifestations of the supernatural.
Yes, it's a sequel to the first book, which was the Rapture Dialogue, where I set the kind of the foreground for this second novel. It takes place, it begins actually atop Mount Moriah with an Arab Islamic guard guarding the Temple Mount, and there's a thunderstorm above Moriah as he is sitting there by the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and a lightning bolt strikes, and he sees a vision. And from that, we go to from that particular thing to the caves of Afghanistan, where Osama bin Laden is listening to a group of men as they chant and as they gleefully look into a terroristic act that they're about to do. And
of course, that's the attack on the United States on September
11th. Absolutely, yeah. It's going to come that way, yeah. That's the way it's going to end up. The Bin Laden goes outside, and actually there's a bright disc above the mountains, some of the spires there of the mountains, and he sees that and it disappears. This is all in the prologue. And then we come to chapter one, where we go to the World Trade Tower.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, we'll go right ahead. And of course, the experience that you describe in the World Trade Center, there's almost an air of mysticism about it. At least this one man, Blake, Blake Robbins, who is sitting there, and something transforms him. Just as the plane hits the North Tower, he's in the South Tower, and really the description of what happens from there on, is just amazing. As suddenly I'll let you tell the story, Terry.
Okay, well, Blake Robbins is a an agent. He's a sort of a liaison between government and big business or some technology industry. And so he won't tell it all, but he gets off the trade tower in a rather, what we might call a miraculous way, but is actually a technological way. And from that we proceed to look at the characters throughout the book. And it's a development proceeds from the previous book. These are the children, the offspring of the people of the previous book who were seeing things that were mysterious, like the appearance of cloud-like beings that had haunted their not only them but their children down through the years. And so as the story proceeds, we get into government, clandestine, covert operations and so forth, and the main characters of the book go to the mountains of Colorado eventually, where they come in contact with some of the chimera, some of the things that are being produced between we believe the Nephilim, or the between the fallen angels and between animal life, and from these things are produced some of the things that that we like to think of maybe as Bigfoot. And I work all of this in a fictional setting that it points out, I believe, the return of the fallen angels to Earth, as Jesus said it would be in the time of the end, just before he returned.
As it was in the days of Noah.
Exactly.
The whole day. And that I think, is what points to the fact that there will be Nephilim, there will be the supernatural, because I believe in that era, before the Great Flood, there was a great deal of supernatural things happening. After all, when you have fallen angels mating with women, that's pretty much of a supernatural thing. And a lot of people don't want to believe in the supernatural, but if you're a Christian, you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That, if there's anything supernatural, it would be the ascension of Jesus Christ after death. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Terry James, and he's talking about his book. It's called The Nephilim Imperatives. And, Chris, the question is there really a supernatural realm? Well, I think anybody who's a Christian has to believe in that, because there's so much about the supernatural in the Scriptures, and whether it be in Deuteronomy, where they tell us to avoid the fortune tellers and the diviners and the mediums and things of that sort. And Chris, having talked to several people who've been mediums, this is not imaginary. They really are taken over by another being, another force. And I've had the opportunity of seeing a spoon that was actually bent into two circles by a major general who was working with a military unit that was involved with the supernatural. And he was able to take that spoon and in front of our good friend Joyce Riley, was able to bend that spoon not once into a circle, but twice into a circle. And I will tell you, when I picked up the spoon, I couldn't budge it at all. You can't do this sort of thing using natural or human power. It's only as you begin to rely upon the supernatural. And I think what's so interesting is that our military has been dealing with the supernatural, haven't they?
They certainly have. And we are in a supernatural realm, Dr. Stan. Paul the Apostle told us that in Ephesians 6:12. He says that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we do struggle against supernatural forces. They're all around us. The Bible says we look through a glass darkly now in this fleshly realm. But, reality is the other side, heaven. And there are two dimensions here that are at war with each other, two forces. One is the forces of God, the other is the force of evil. And that's what the book is about, basically. And again, it's based upon Jesus' words in Luke 17, verses 26, 27, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, meaning the time when Jesus reappears. And if we look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, basically, Elohim looked down and they saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they came to earth and they cohabited. They had sexual relations with them. And from these unions were produced the giants of old that you were talking about earlier. And so that's what the novel is about. But I believe it's based, it's a fiction, of course, but it is based in fact. And today, was it today or was it yesterday, that the big UFO sighting in Texas, and that's
could tell us about that, because I've only heard people alluding to it, but apparently there was something very dramatic.
Yeah, a place in Stevens, I think it's called Stevensville, Texas, which is apparently not too far out in the countryside there by Fort Worth, and a farmer, first of all, saw this huge thing that he couldn't even describe the dimensions of it, hovering over his farm fields. And it was picked up then by a number of other people who spotted a pilot, several other very credible people, and it was just inexplicable. Now the Air Force major, who is a part of the Naval Air Station there, said that it had to be these people seeing the in the dusky light. The lights of aircraft landing or something in the distance, you know, in a DFW or somewhere. I didn't understand exactly where they were, but apparently these people they were very credible, said that this thing looked to be almost a mile long in some places, and it was definitely hovering. It was an unidentified flying object. They don't know what it was, but it was not an aircraft, and everybody reported the same thing. So it's one of the big reports early here in this year. I have felt all along that these things are going to become prolific in the very near future, and I think that this happening this early in the year, we're going to see a lot of these. And I believe it's a revisitation of not extraterrestrials, but interdimensionals.
And I agree with you totally. We have a wonderful, wonderful DVD on UFOs. The only disadvantage is that the man who put it together really believes that they're alien forces from another planet, and I don't think that at all. I think they're manifestations of the supernatural, because they do not abide by physical laws. If they came from another planet, they'd still have to abide by physical laws. But certainly the UFOs that have been seen, it can, you know, 5,000 miles and make an abrupt right turn. You can't do that. I mean, you have to, but they are able to. And so certainly the people, Jacques Vallée, of course, one of the experts on the UFOs, one of the world's leading experts, finally, even though he wasn't a Christian, had to come to the conclusion that they were metaphysical from another dimension. Until people are willing to understand this and recognize the fact that we're involved in a spiritual battle, and there are spiritual forces here, you know, as well as the physical forces. I mean, we see the physical. We have a wall. There's no way you can walk through that wall.
Right.
And yet, of course, if you believe the Bible, Jesus walked through a wall, and after he had been crucified and resurrected, he was suddenly appeared in this locked room. How would that have happened? If you're a Christian, you believe in the infallibility of the scriptures, you have to accept that there is a supernatural dimension.
Absolutely. Like you said, Dr. Chen, I think that the greatest evidence we have is that no matter whether what you think they are, what the world thinks they are appearing, and they're doing incredible things from the standpoint of moving at right angles at fantastic speeds. And you, of all people, Dr. Stan, know physiology. And that, like you said, would just be impossible for flesh and blood of any sort in the physical realm. And these things can appear, disappear, do all of these things. And that's what I cover in the Nephilim Imperative, some of the reasons for these things, the spiritual aspects as well as the physical manifestations. So I believe we're seeing again the revisitation of these things. Actually, they've never left. They've always been here, haven't they?
I think that they probably have. And of course, the question, you know, in my mind is certainly God had a great flood to do away with all of the giants, and yet, of course, they appeared after the flood as well. So obviously, something caused that, and there are various theories whether that they were actually descendants of Ham, who was one of the Noah's sons, or We don't know. Maybe there was a second ark. Have you heard that possibility that some of the evil ones escaped on another ark, and that's the one that's at the base of Mount Ararat. But I mean, all we can do is conjecture. What we do know is that there have been literally thousands of alien abductions, and so many of these alien abductions have to do with, of course, sexual manipulation and genetic manipulation. Have you run into that?
Yes, in my research and my study on these things, the visitations, the abductions, sometimes having lasted, you know, entire several generations of people, they have demonic overtones to them. The people who believe in these things being extraterrestrials and visiting see them as strictly physical manifestations from other planets. But these things have all of the earmarks of what we read in the Bible about demonic indwellings, demonic oppression, and all of these things. So I believe that these are real. I don't believe that these are people's imaginations for the most part.
No, I don't.
But of course, these things are hard to prove.
But I think that certainly when you've talked to mediums and they tell you about their supernatural experiences and about the psychic healings and of course the demonic possession, and just one of the interesting things I was hearing the other day is that, you know, if you're about to be abducted by an alien, why, one thing you want to do is call on the name of Jesus Christ, and those aliens will leave you alone, because they're not going to go after people who are truly Christians. Some people claim to be Christians and have been abducted, but those who are truly Christians and call upon the name of Jesus Christ, why, then they leave them alone. And certainly if you've ever been under demonic oppression and you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, why, of course, they'll leave you alone too.
That's right. We remember the story in the Bible that of the people who were going to go into this house and throw and remove demons, and they were not in Christ. They were not people who believed in God for real, and so they said in the name of Jesus, "Be gone from this man who was possessed, these demons." And of course, they said, "We know Jesus, but who are you?" And then the demons, the demoniac. Threw them out of the house. So it is important to know Jesus Christ, particularly in this era, in order to, well, of course, for eternal salvation, but also to, I think, guard against some of these things we see coming upon the earth in these latter days.
Of course, you talk a lot about, you know, this one fellow, I guess his name is Clark, and he is going out, he is searching Bigfoot, you know, this elusive creature that's out there that some people claim that they've seen, and of course, you know, he's once or twice he's actually caught glimpses of this, and he's seen one of the footprints of this. And of course, really, what appealed to me so much is talking to Barry Shamish, who had researched this over in Israel when these sightings were occurring, and of course, they actually saw these massive footprints. And they were actually tracked by the military over there, trying to figure out what they were. I mean, these were footprints, about a foot long, you know, I guess 2 feet long, massive, massive footprints, and obviously sinking deeply in the soil because the creature was so large, and people saw these giants, and I mean, this is not imaginary. This is an amazing, amazing story, and of course, if it could happen in Israel, I believe it can happen here. Well, certainly we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with our guest, and Terry James. If you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Terry, why don't you go ahead? And, of course, it's a fascinating and gripping story. It's hard to put the book down.
Well, I thank you for that. And I think everybody who has read it in its pre-release have said that it is a story that grips you and holds your attention, as did the first one, the Rapture Dialogues. And this is a continuation of the story of this family who has been well, actually, they've been demonically influenced over the years, and they don't know Christ. They're not what we call saved. They come into this next book, and their offspring. By now, the parents are saved, but the offspring, the two children who are now grown, and the one you were talking about, Clark, who is the grandson of one of the main characters of the first book, and his sister Morgan, they have also had some of this demonic possession, and still do to some extent, because they have not come to know the Lord. And their parents are concerned about them. But Clark is a reporter, and he's, as you said, looking for the Bigfoot character. His sister is actually with a public relations firm, but she ends up in this Colorado Mountain area where there's much of this covert operations going on due to her relationship with this man that was in the Trade Towers we were talking about earlier, Blake Robbins. And he's a part of this covert operation. And the thing about that we're leading toward here is that these young people, this brother Clark and his sister Morgan, are being sought, and they have been all this time influenced and possessed and tinkered with by these demonic beings that that now have manipulated them to this covert operations in Colorado, and they're there for a specific purpose, and I won't give that away, but it is a very profound purpose that has gone back for generations, that these creatures, in concert with certain dark operation characters of the human sort, are leading toward development of hybrid individuals that will be instrumental in hopefully for the dimensional creatures they will be instrumental in bringing to fruition a world order that is biblically prophesied.
And you know, Chris, if you talk to people, and there's a woman named Johanna Michelson who's been a frequent guest. Do you know Johanna by any chance?
I have spoken with her, but I don't know her personally other than just having spoken on the phone.
Well, we've spoken many times on the phone, even though I've never met her. I feel I know her very well, having spent many hours talking to her. And Johanna was a medium. And, of course, apparently one of her great aunts was a medium as well. And, you know, she's growing up, and she's having these supernatural experiences, and you know, these beings in the house, you know, and she's always aware of the fact that that she can sense things, she can predict things that other people can't, and of course, really, you know, of course, it's very interesting to her. She doesn't understand the implications of it all until, of course, she meets this faith healer, this old Indian woman who can actually do psychic surgery. And she's actually able to cure people that medicine had given up on, and actually do surgery and reach into somebody's skull and pull out the tumor, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were simply talking about Johanna Michelson, who is a medium, who had actually had this gift or curse, whatever it would be, the ability to sense the supernatural, which she'd gotten from a great aunt, and how growing up she was well aware that she could reach into this other dimension, and then of course she gets involved with this psychic surgeon, this old Indian woman, very nice woman, who has the ability to carry out these operations, you know, with simply you know, a penknife, and cure people, reach into their stomach and reach into their head, and suddenly the head or the stomach heals automatically, and the tumor or whatever it is gone. And you know, you actually talk to her or read her Johanna's book, and it's a long time before she realized, of course, that this is demonic, and she doesn't want to believe it's demonic. This is wonderful to be able to cure all these people that organized medicine can't, and then the sudden realization that she's dealing with this other dimension. And really, it's fascinating to talk to Johanna, and of course to spend really hours talking with her as you begin to get this whole story. And then of course she you know, of course, renounces. You have to renounce this gift, and that's the thing. If you're a Christian, you can renounce it and get rid of it. Otherwise, they will be haunting you all your life. Don't you think, Terry?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's proven that generation after generation this is taking place. I think Joanna's, if I recall, the book she wrote, a famous book,
The Beautiful Side of Evil,
or something like
which
that.
Which we carry the book. We think it's so important.
Yeah, and she, I think, talks about this generational thing.
Right.
And only Jesus Christ can break this according to everything I've read or studied about it. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to break this cycle of generational possession.
Yeah, and of course, what you do is you renounce it in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, it's miraculous. It's gone, and it's gone forever. And you know, it's things like this that make me know that the Christianity is exactly what it's made out to be. And you hate to have to go into the supernatural to be absolutely certain. Of course, we believe the Holy Scriptures, but even though you believe the Holy Scriptures, when you suddenly begin to face the supernatural, and you realize, of course, that your only protection is our Lord. Why, of course, then you begin to rely on it more and more.
Yes, we are in a spiritual warfare that only Jesus can defend us from. And of course, greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world, the Scriptures say. So I urge everyone to look to Christ for protection.
But did you actually come under any demonic attack while you were writing this book?
No, I didn't. I can't say I did, but I definitely came under, I think, Holy Spirit inspiration, not in the sense of Old Testament or New Testament writers, but in the sense that I felt very strongly that this book needs to be, this subject needs to be addressed. You know, I write in prophecy and speak in prophetic matters, eschatological matters. But this is one area that I'm afraid our prophecy teachers, some of the great prophecy teachers, have completely ignored, and that is this return of the Nephilim, the sons of God, as Jesus said they would. And so I think the Holy Spirit put in my mind to write this book and do it in a fictional way because, as Tim LaHaye once said, people will read a fiction completely through, a novel completely through, where they might not read a nonfiction book all the way through in many cases. So you get a good storyline that tells a story, and I believe that's what the Holy Spirit prompted me to do. And so I think we're touching in this book and in its predecessor book on some topics that are very important to our times with regard to God's prophetic timeline. So that was my whole reason for writing it. I didn't feel any oppression, but then I prayed every morning. I pray every morning before I start my work.
Well, I think that's probably why you didn't feel the oppression, because we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to protect us from these forces, which are really very real. And, of course, when you begin to get getting closer and closer to the devil's heartbeat, he's going to come after you if you don't have complete protection. And that's what we do, and that's why... Certainly we rely upon the Lord as well, and without that there's no way I could do what I'm doing. Well, when we get back, if you'd like to talk to Terry about this concept of the Nephilim and the return of the Nephilim, and I believe that they have returned, especially after my conversations with Barry and seeing his DVD that he's put together on this. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we're going to be back here in just a moment as we explore this idea. Is there a supernatural realm? Does this explain some of the strange sightings? Does this explain some of the strange abductions? Does this explain UFOs and crop circles and cattle mutilations and the weeping of Madonnas and so many of the things going on today? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our guest is Terry James, and we've got Gay calling from Flint, Michigan, and it's ordinarily we'd wait until all of our stations were back on board, but it's late back there, Gay. It must be after midnight, is it?
Oh, yes, it is, Doctor. It's is about 12:30.
Okay, do you have a question or comment for us?
Actually, I have two. I have two different situations I would like to discuss with your guests. But first, I would like to thank you for bringing such a vast amount of knowledge to the public's knowledge. It's like, especially when it comes to the inoculations and the perpetration that's going on by the leadership of our country.
Right.
And so many other things. God bless you and keep you.
Well, thank you so much. And we do our best. But do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. My first one is, one second here. Okay, I'm sorry. The first one is, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I can just barely hear you. It's about the situation that I was in 98, 99. It was during when we were having the major solar flares.
Right.
It was about 4 o'clock, about 4 o'clock in the morning, a.m. I was watching TV, and that was during the time when it was interfering with a lot of electronic transmission. So then I left my television on. I went to sit down, and I opened up my Bible, you know, to study. And because nothing was coming through on the television, it was just a blank screen. And then I happened to look up a little while later. There were computer language around the screen of the television. And going across the middle part of the screen was 666. And I asked the Lord, I said, what does this mean? And then beside me, there was a manifestation of a spirit. And the next thing I know, I was on a vast plane. I was soaring like a rocket, you know, like a bullet. And I was going so fast, and in the distance was our president, Bush, and standing behind him was a gigantic demon. And he wasn't standing, he was like sideways. And I was viewing this, and you know, I felt like a little bug, you know, on this vast plane with Bush and his being behind him. And I said, Lord, what does this mean? You know, because then the demon turned around and looked at me. And I really became terrified. I said, God help me. God help me. Lord help me, please.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have a gay calling us from Flint, Michigan, just telling us about a supernatural experience that she had. And Gay, if this was real, why, people do have supernatural experiences. We can't comment on it because we don't know, but certainly I've heard similar stories. And, you know, but if that ever happens to you again, you call upon the name of Jesus Christ to, you know, to make this stop and go away, and they'll leave you alone, okay?
Yes.
And I appreciate so much. Do you have any thoughts on that at all, Terry?
No, please, sir. I wanted to finish telling you all about it, and I wanted to ask your a guest about something. Anyway, the Spirit told me, the Spirit of the Lord told me, but Bush and the Antichrist called his people to power all around the world through the North Atlantic seaboard satellite. And then he told me, he said, Bush and his principles are being upheld by a great demonic force, and the power that they're using to stay in power, is anything that's coming against them will boomerang back over on the people, the opposition, the people that is sending it towards them. And he also showed me in another waking vision, I went into a fraternity.
We really don't have because we've got other callers, but I appreciate that. Let's just ask Tom what he would think, Terry, what he would think about what you've said so far.
Well, I realize you're frustrated and want to get the whole story out, but we are kind of pressed for time. But let me just say this, that all of humanistic government is not of God. It is of Satan, no matter who it is. I don't care if you're talking George Bush, Bill Clinton, or who, whatever president. You know, still they're under a humanistic regime, and there are two forces in this world. There's the forces of the devil, there's the forces of God. And unfortunately, humanism, and we call that the Babylonian system, is demonically inspired. Now, that's not to say that everybody within government are demonic, but certainly it is a system that is headed for destruction. We see that in Daniel chapter 2 when the stone strikes the 10 toes and all of the world governments collapse and are blown into the dustbins of history. So in that sense, government, all government is not of God, but it is a government that's passing away. There'll only be one government that's going to be the kind of government that we really need and should desire, and that is when Jesus Christ sits on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God.
Amen.
Amen to that. Well, thanks so very much, Gay. And let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to talk about possession. I'm a Catholic, first of all, and I had read part of the Malachi Martin's book, Hostage to the Devil, and also I listened to several of his tapes, some of his last interviews, and he believed that there are certain people that were perfectly possessed,
right,
meaning that the devil had so much control over them that they appear to be normal and they have great intellect. But he said in his book, now a friend of mine told me this, that Malachi Martin had actually said that Bill Clinton was perfectly possessed. He made that comment in his book. And I think these world leaders are under the control of Satan.
I think you're absolutely right.
I do too. Or is your name Ray, isn't it?
It's Ray, right.
I think absolutely I agree with Dr. Stan. I think that the leaders of this world are under tremendous amount of demonic oppression. And they do seem to be normal. And some of them seem to exceed... to succeed extremely well, and I think.
Well, you know, you talk to anybody from Arkansas, and you know,
there's 50
murders out there. You know,
I'm from Arkansas.
Yeah, you know,
I'm saying
50 murders,
unsolved right
murders. So these world leaders are, I believe their whole goal is to bring us into the Antichrist. I think in however means that they can. And they're doing it economically, but at the same time they're creating these wars so that they can, you know, strip us of all of our resources.
Yeah, well, we're in real trouble. We live in a fallen world, Ray, and I think you're absolutely right. We have to you look and see what's happening politically. But if you just accept what you're being told by the media, you kind of miss it, because behind everything are powerful spiritual forces.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that to be true.
Okay, fine. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Only this. The Malachi Martin tapes went into great detail about possession and...
Did you get these tapes from me or from somebody else?
No, from somebody else.
Okay, fine. Well, maybe you could get them to me. I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, well... I'd love to send them to. Do you happen to know Richard Sweeney?
Sure, I do.
Well, he's kind of a friend of the family, and he's very knowledgeable man.
All right, fine. If you could get those to me, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll try to see what I can
fine.
Do.
Okay, God bless, and thanks very much, Ray. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest is Terry James, The Nephilim Imperatives. How can people get your book, Terry?
Well, they can go to Amazon.com and type in The Nephilim Imperatives, or they can go to RaptureReady.com, which is the website on which I'm partnered with Todd Strandberg, and there's a link on the homepage to the novel, gives them a description of it, and also a link to Amazon.com. It hasn't quite gotten in all the stores yet, but we're working toward that.
Well, of course, Tom Horn is a good friend of ours as the publisher, and he's doing a great job of getting these things out.
Yes.
And a wonderful friend to lots of us. I see on the back of your book here, it mentions you're affiliated with Tim LaHaye. Are you seeing Tim very often?
Actually, I was just with him in December at the Pre-Crib Conference there in Dallas, and Tim is was getting along pretty well to be 82.
Yeah, I know he is. Well, I'm always amazed by him. In fact, at least until recently, he was always going out running every morning with his headset on, listening to our tapes. We send him our tapes of the month, and he gets a chance to listen to those.
I think he still jogs a little bit.
Right. Well, he's an amazing, amazing individual. And somebody asked if you'd give your website one more time.
Okay, it's raptureready.com, RAPTUREREADY.com.
All right, raptureready.com. And, of course, the idea, of course, that there really are Bigfoot, yet there's something out there. I mean, we see the Loch Ness Monster, and, of course, I point out that, of course, you know, we don't know whether the Loch Ness Monster is real or not, but obviously there was some reason why Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist, bought a home on Loch Ness, and why, of course, after he died, Jimmy Page of the Led Zeppelins, who was deeply involved in the occult, bought Aleister Crowley's home. Why would occultists want to go to Loch Ness, where the Loch Ness Monster is? In fact, the neighbors referred to Aleister Crowley as the other Loch Ness Monster. And, of course, there is something there. And, of course, are these manifestations of the supernatural? And is this what Bigfoot is all about? We don't know. And certainly there, it's the stories we have from Barry Shamish, and I believe that they're absolutely true, as he researched this, there were giants in Israel there, of course, during the early 1990s. So, and they were seen by not one, but by many, many people. And then all of the sightings disappeared, and the giants disappeared. And so there is certainly something here besides the physical manifestations that we look to, and we don't want to believe in the supernatural. We want to believe everything is just as it appears to be, but you can't explain anything, in my estimation, of what's going on in the world today unless you recognize the supernatural element of that.
I agree wholeheartedly, Dr. Stan. The very fact that that so many people are seeing so many things, and you know, and that is manifesting itself in whatever we want to think about our entertainment industry in this in America today. They do recognize that they want to give people what they want in order to sell their commercial time and so forth, and they are just literally inundating, as you probably know, the airwaves this season with programs on the supernatural.
Right.
And so people are very interested in these sort of things, and it comes from, I think, a demonic spirit itself, setting up people for some sort of delusion that I believe dark spiritual world wants to force upon mankind, and we see that in government and every other way.
I think that we have to recognize it's there. And we have to know that these people really do have ability to contact the other dimension. But, of course, we don't want to, and we keep advising people to know about it. And that's, of course, the subject of my talk on the forbidden secret. And,
mm-hmm.
But the tape sets we have on the secret behind the secret. But, well, let's go to, is it Yvette in Detroit?
Yes.
All right, Yvette, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, for Mr. James. Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Blessed in the Lord. I wanted to ask you, can there be two opposing extraterrestrials in our midst, such as the evil ones and the good ones?
All right, do you think there are any good extraterrestrials? Because these are not extraterrestrials, Yvette. These are a supernatural beings. These are not from another planet. They're from this... but they're not from this dimension we live in.
Okay, I would like to tell you about an experience I had, and it was concerning. I've had visitations by I call them UFOs, but extraterrestrials. Now, on one occasion, there were two beings in my home. And I heard them discussing me. I could not see them, but I heard them.
They were
speaking on protecting me from the graves. That's exactly what they said.
Are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
Did you call upon Jesus Christ to actually protect you from this? Because obviously, if they were real demonic beings, of course, why? Of course, the only protection you have is the blood of Jesus Christ. And calling upon the blood of Jesus, why? Of course, these things will leave you alone.
Yes, I have. The very next night, I woke up, and something woke me up, and I looked out the window, and outside my gate was standing what appeared to be, you know, the description of one of those little grays. And I said, no, this can't be. And then I opened my door to get a better look. I turned my light on, and before, I turned it on so quickly, it didn't have time to, I call it, cloak itself or something. Because then it went and stood behind some posts on my gate, and it eventually kind of like disappeared. And I've had a situation where I was on a ship, and I went through a psychological testing. There were five other people with me, and they went through everything from your sexual preference to how would you react in saving a stranger, how you would react to saving someone you know. How would you react to saving a loved one? What was your thinking on different things? And so apparently, I guess I scored high or something, because in the end, you know, they were humanoid. The ones that I have been in contact with, it's humanoid. They look just like you and me.
I think you probably better, you know, get to an exorcist or a minister and have them have you renounce that. You've got to get out from underneath that, because they're going to keep coming back.
Let's let
Mr. James ask you. Do you have a question?
No, I have a question.
Yes, I do. Mr. James, yes. They told me that they do not accept homosexuality in their midst.
All right, fine. Let's get Mr. James. Go ahead, Terry.
My question, Yvette, was, have you... I know you said you're a Christian, but have you in any way opened yourself up to hypnotism?
No.
Or to any sort of occult activity at all?
Oh, no. I grew up in a very Christian home, grew up very Christian family, very Christian community.
Well, because you may very well have had an ancestor or somebody who was into this, because this doesn't happen to normal people, but it does happen to those where an intergenerational possession takes place.
Yes, it does. I think that, you know, again, what Dr. Stan said, the best thing to do is to invoke the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When you see these things, because he is the only protection we have against them.
Amen to that. And thanks very much for calling, Yvette. And it's really that people are out there. In fact, I have a friend of mine who is an orthopedic surgeon, a young doctor I knew. And, you know, he tells the story of what brought him into Christianity. He came home one evening, he's laying down on the bed, and suddenly there's this clawed creature on his chest, horrible face, you know, demonic face, and he's frightened to death, because he doesn't know whether he's dreaming or not, but he wakes up and he's got all the claw marks on his chest. And that's transformed his life. At that point, he went to the minister and said, I need help.
Right.
And, now I've never had a supernatural experience like that. My wife has seen a UFO, but I never have. But, you know, I've known enough people who have, and I've known people who've been mediums, and there is this other dimension out there. And, of course, we have to recognize this, and we have to be prepared, of course, to deal with it, and we have to know how to deal with it. And whether it be Yvette or our other caller from Michigan, they have to renounce this. They got to be, you know, and renounce it once and for all. And they probably may need a minister to help them.
Absolutely.
In fact, we ought to have Tom Horn on, because Tom has done that. Have you ever done any of that work at all?
I know Tom has done some exorcism-type work. And no, I haven't myself, but I believe it is biblical, and I believe that that it can be essential in some cases, and of course always with Jesus Christ at the very center of it all, And, you know, I haven't gotten into that myself. And
I'm not going to get into that because that's a little out of my feeling of expertise.
Yeah,
but, I mean, there are people who have done this. But you can't do it on your own. Anybody thinks that they can, encounter demons and take care of them on their own, they're sadly mistaken. I mean, you have to call upon the blood of Jesus Christ and his protection, over you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you can order the demons to do, what you want them to do, and they will do it. Not for you, but they'll do because they fear Jesus, just exactly as the demon there at Gerizim in the demoniac. Fascinating material. We're going to be back and wrap up this evening's program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Terry, we've explored an awful lot of things. We've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, I just thank you so much again, Dr. Stan, for having me on the program. And again, the whole purpose of my ministry, my writing ministry, anything else, is to put forth the name of Jesus Christ, who we've been talking about all this time. He is the answer to all of man's problems. I know you will agree, whether it's governmental, whether it's spiritual, no matter what, it's Jesus is the answer to everything. Now, I would encourage people to go to our website, raptureready.com, because we have over 15,000 articles free. There's no charge for visiting, and it's really very strong on prophetic matters, and it covers a lot of these things we've been discussing, spiritual matters, the revisitation of the Nephilim and so forth. And so I would also very much appreciate you looking into getting a copy of my books of this novel series on this subject. The first one, The Rapture Dialogues, and the second one, The Nephilim Imperatives, that just came out. And you can do that by going to Amazon.com and typing in either my name, Terry James, or the name of the books. So I thank you again, Dr. Stan, very much. You're doing a wonderful work here, and I just pray God's blessings upon all you do from here on.
Well, I think it's a privilege to have a voice at times like this, and of course we're going to be looking forward to talking to you. I guess it's tomorrow. Is it tomorrow afternoon we have another interview with you?
Do we? Okay, good. Yeah, tomorrow afternoon. I think that's right. Wednesday afternoon, yeah.
And basically, of course, it'll be an entirely different audience, so we can say the same things. We actually have
two. There you go. We've already got it memorized.
Well, we have actually three separate audiences. But of course, so many times we'll get guests on several of the programs, and that way I don't have to read so many books, but I'm really looking forward to finishing yours. I just got it, about noon today, and I've read about 50, 60 pages of it. And
maybe you'll write a review on it when you're finished.
I think it's a fascinating look into what's going on today, and I think with you, that we're going to see more and more of the supernatural, as this situation plays itself out, as we begin moving, towards the end of recorded history. And I think that we're just so fortunate to be living at this time, but really fortunate to know the Lord.
Absolutely.
Well, our guest has been Terry James. His book, once again, The Nephilim Imperatives. And, of course, you'll find it a fascinating, fascinating read. Terry, thank you very much. We'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow afternoon.
Look forward to it, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. I hope you enjoyed our program. But I think this is really such an important, important subject, and we all need to recognize there is a supernatural. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we hope many of you out there will be interested in getting some of the material we have. We've got a great DVD on UFOs. Now, the only drawback is that the man who does this really believes they're extraterrestrial. We believe, of course, very strongly that these are from another dimension. They are supernatural beings, but there's no question that they're there. And there's great, great film footage. You give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And order the Bob Fletcher's DVD on UFOs. You'll find it just fascinating. And then, of course, we have a book, and it's called Alien Intervention. And it's written from a Christian point of view about UFOs. And really, it's a very, very good book. We carry this. We carry certain books that I've had the opportunity. It's called Alien Intervention, The Spiritual Mission of UFOs by Paul Christopher. Alien Intervention, The Spiritual Mission of UFOs by Paul Christopher. And then, of course, we carry the four-tape set on the supernatural, which is my interviews, at least two of them, with Joanna Michelson, where she tells her story. And then, of course, we carry Joanna's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. We think it's very important. We carry the book, The Hostage to the Devil. It's written by Father Malachi Martin. And we have a four-tape set of interviews with Father Malachi. And, of course, we think that they are very, very important. And, of course, you can get the two of them together, the book and the four-tape set. And I believe that there's a special consideration when you do that. We carry the four-tape set, a four-CD set on satanic crimes, and of course the book on satanic crimes. And there are satanic covens in the United States. David Berkowitz, the son of Sam Keller, was involved in one of them. Manson was involved in another, and yet everything is being done to play down that aspect of it. You're supposed to believe that Manson was just crazy. He wasn't just crazy. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he was serving the dark side. Satanic Crimes, the book, the DVD, or the four-tape set. We have a great new four-tape set on the Bilderbergers, four-tape or four-CD set. We have a great new four-tape or four-CD set on the spy chips, on this effort to get everybody chipped. Why is that important? Because you'll neither buy nor sell unless you'd be known by the mark of the beast or by the number of his name. And of course, certainly you cannot ignore the spiritual implications of the fact that there is an organized program to chip every animal, to chip every domestic pet, to chip children in the nurseries. After all, that way you're not going to get the wrong child when you go home. And of course, going along with that, of course, to begin to chip everybody, and to have a chip in your driver's license and your passport, and they know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know. So these things are happening, and these four tape or four CD sets will help you to reach others and let them know what's going on. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because this is how we're able to do what we do. If you'd like to get one of our catalogs, or we do have an emergency food catalog, which we think everybody should be making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you'd like a health product catalog, and that, of course, goes into the various things that Barbara and I take, and, of course, we're learning new things all the time. Got a friend from a call today from our friend Dr. Blaylock, and he made several suggestions about what I should be taking since I've had my heart surgery, and we'll be taking those things as well, and there's nobody who knows more about what's going on than Russell. Incidentally, we'll have Russell with us next week talking about vaccines for 2 hours, a program you will not want to miss. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, and certainly our web.